Hello everyone, welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I am your host Brett Hill, and today we have a great message coming out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 to start things off. The title of the message is God's Possession is God's Problem. Isaiah chapter 46. If you don't have your Bible, pause the podcast, go back and get your Bible, come back and join us. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 1 through 5. I'm in the King James Version today, and starting with verse number 1. Baal boweth down, and Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs, or old age hairs, gray hair, will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, and even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? Church, there's many ways that Jesus is talking here, that he's saying, whom would you liken me? God the Father says, is there another God out there? Is there anybody that could be in the same category as me? Is there another God that could speak words out of his mouth and have a creative power that things would just appear because he's speaking? Is there another God that could expand the universe and just hang stars out in the places and make them appear in the same place every night? Is there another God that could create the food, the water, the animals, the birds, the air, the fish of the sea? Is there any other God that's like me? Could you put somebody beside me in my category and be like me? Who could you could compare me to? Church, there's nobody out there that you can compare God to. You cannot compare him, the Son, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit. The Trinity of God cannot be compared to anybody else, and there is no other God but him. And church, I want to talk to you today because there's many ways for you to fight a battle, but there's only one way to bring overwhelming victory in a battle. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit today, because on August the 2nd, 1990, when the United States and a 42-country coalition of allied forces entered into Kuwait, it took only 100 hours and the Iraqi forces under the leadership of Saddam Hussein were completely overwhelmed and defeated, just overwhelmed with so much force that they were, the enemy soldiers was actually surrendering to cameramen and news media in fear for their lives. In 1967, the Egyptian president Gamal Abdel Nasser closed off shipping privileges. All ships coming from Israel were not allowed to go through the Straits of Tehran. They had completely shut that down to stop Israel from operating. They didn't like them being a country. They didn't want them to get trade deals through anybody else. Nobody liked Israel, so they shut down their resources, shut down their ways of getting goods in and out of their country. But on June 5th of 1967, Israel launched a series of airstrikes against Egyptian airfields and many other facilities, and Israel also launched some attacks on the Egyptian-occupied Gaza Strip and the Sinai Peninsula that Egypt had control of, and that forced the Egyptians and Arab allied forces that also included Syria and Jordan, some of the other Arab countries around there, to begin an advanced attack against Israel, trying to shut them down and destroy them once and for all. And on the fifth day, there was over 20,000 allied forces of the Arab forces and the Egyptians that were killed in the efforts of shutting down Israel. And then on the sixth day, they all agreed to sign a peace treaty with Israel to stop all their allied casualties. It was too much. Israel's force was so overwhelming, the war only took 6 days. This conflict was known as the Six-Day War. So church, when problems are confronted with a great, overwhelming power and force, the problem itself has no choice but to be dismantled. The United States and its allies overwhelm the Iraqis. The Israelis overwhelm the Arab allies. And both of them took place because of power beyond the comprehension of the enemy. And we as Christians, listen to me today, we as Christians have at our disposal an overwhelming power from on high, a force that cripples the weapons of darkness and cripples the enemy as he tries to bring his tools of weapons and tools of destruction against you. We have an ally that has never come close to being defeated. He's always been the champion. He's always won every battle he's come up against, and that name of that ally is Jesus Christ, none other than the Lord, our Creator, our King, our soon coming King, our Savior, the one who died for our sins. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's never come close to being defeated. I want you to hear how God himself deals with our security, those who he loves and those who he takes care of. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 declares that if anyone defiles or comes against God's temple, God himself will destroy that person, for the temple of God is holy. It's set apart for him. It's his property, and you are God's temple. Church, we don't need tanks and guns and missiles to fend off the enemy today. We don't need war machines and aircraft and guided missiles and nuclear bombs to fend off our enemy today. The keeper of my soul, he does that for me. He stands between me and the oppressor. He puts up a front that the enemy can't come across. He has a fortress that can't be penetrated. The Lion of Judah is my defender. He shields me from those who seeks to do me harm. I don't have to fly a flag to before my enemy to let him know who I am, because the Lord himself is my banner. He's my fortress. He's my strong tower, and in him shall I trust. As somebody needs to be praising the Lord today. Listen, Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 clearly says that Christ Jesus has made me his own. If you are a Christian today, if you're serving God and you love him and you've put your faith in him, Philippians 3 and 12 says that you have become the property of Jesus Christ himself. And so listen, so if I am the temple, if I'm God's temple and the devil comes after me, God the Father has put it in writing that he will destroy Satan for his idle threats toward me. Yes, I said idle threats. He has nothing that he can bring up against the Lord God Almighty. It's just idle threats. But when he threatens, when he comes after the child of God, they're idle threats, because God stands up and says, my possession is my problem. You'll not lay a hand on my people. The battle does not belong to me, church. It belongs to God. He will do the fighting for me. I don't know if that does anything for you today, but I believe I have some incredible power in my corner. I believe that the power of God, his Holy Spirit, all that creative power, that force that created the world that we live in, is at our disposal today. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And that's a standard that the enemy has never even comprehended that they would ever be able to make a plan to even scratch that standard. God has a standard that can't be penetrated. Church, Isaiah has declared to us that even in our old age, God has said, I will carry you. I myself will bear you up, and I will deliver you. It doesn't matter. This is good news to us, church, because we know that God will never leave us to face our adversary alone. He will never leave us in times of trouble, no matter how long we've been serving, no matter how long we've been at this Christian walk with him. It doesn't matter how old or how feeble your body gets, he is always going to be there. His protection for his own has no time limit. His blood-bought child of God has no expiration date on his protection level. He will always be there. He is the author and finisher of your faith, so he will be there for you and me until the end, and he happens to be the end. He said he was. So church, I believe you need to be praising today. You need to be focusing on something other than the gloom, despair, and agony in this world. Don't look at the things that the world has to offer. Don't look at the troubles that men is making upon themselves. Look at God. Look toward heaven. Look toward Jesus Christ and his word, because salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. This world is going to come to an end, but he said the things that he does is eternal, and his word will never fail. His word will never come to an end. coming in, and he's going to put his people that he possesses, that he loves, that he has possession of because of paying for their lives with his blood, he's going to have them for eternity protected by him in his presence. That's something worth shouting over today. And if you're in the office somewhere, just walk back to the bathroom or a closet and let out a good amen or a hallelujah or something, and then go back to your desk and let people stare at you and wonder why you was making that kind of noise. But listen, I want to tell you, church, God reiterated his majesty and his power by asking a question. To whom will you liken me? And who would you make me equal to? And who would you compare me to? Is there anybody else that may be like me that you could put me in a comparison? Church, I want to let you know there's nobody out there. Even the best of the scientists, even the best nations and all their brains put together, they can't be spoken in the same sentence. Listen, Buddha wasn't there when God gave breath to the great white whale. He wasn't there when that took place, but Jesus Christ was. He's been there from the beginning. Mohammed wasn't around when that beautiful tulip popular in the southern magnolia trees first bloomed at God's very command. Listen, the great wise in Confucius, he wasn't present to share his words when the great Jehovah Jireh breath, his breath pushed the firmament from the face of the earth upwards to form an atmosphere for the breath of life to be contained in, so that you and I would have a place to live and air would be stable and our life would be stabilized because of his hand on our life. Nobody else could do that. In other words, what God is saying, is there another God that exists above me? Is there another God that can match my authority? Is anyone out there? Everybody wants to step up and say that they've got some authority. I've got this and I've done this. Look at my accolades. But is there any other God that could be mentioned in the same sentence as Jehovah Jireh, as if a comparison could be made? Isaiah 45 and 5 says that I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. He's telling me that there's statues out there that people worship, but the material that the statue is made out of, my God, Jehovah, he created that. There's people out there that worships golden idols, but the gold that was created and dug up out of the hills, my God spoke it into the existence just with his very breath. There's not a single thing out there that God hasn't made, and when man takes his hands and uses God's created material to make something to worship, they're just fooling themselves. They're deceiving themselves because there's no other person to compare him to. He's God all by himself, and he protects his property. Church, God is the one who arms us for battle. He's the one who saves us with his righteous right hand. If you're a friend of God, then you're a friend of Jesus. Jesus Christ fights for you. He stands between you and the enemy. The enemy may put up a front. The enemy may come in like a lion, but the Jesus Christ that I know will stand between you and the enemy, and the devil has got to come through Jesus Christ to get to you, because God's possession is God's problem. This is always the best way to fight your battles, church. Just realize what the scripture tells you and just step back and let God have it, because he can fight better than you can. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 15 says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged. The battle is not yours, but God's." So use that scripture. Listen to what that scripture is telling you and stop fighting within yourself. Stop struggling with the addiction alone. Stop facing the drugs and stop facing the alcohol and the pornography and whatever it is you're addicted to. Stop facing that stuff alone. Stop facing the problems of life alone. Stop thinking you have to do the fighting yourself. Stop believing the lies and traps that the enemy has dragged you into, because your problem is God's problem. Put that thing in his hand and he will deliver just like he said he would. No one can overcome God's mighty hand concerning you. Nobody. He's God all by himself. Church, we as Christians need to learn to trust, lean, and believe. We need to trust in his word and his promises to get you through the things that you're facing. You need to lean on him when you feel too weak or incapable of doing the thing yourself, because he's the reigning champion in this universe we live in. He can handle it. He's never lost a battle. We need to believe that Jesus is faithful. Even when you can't see that he's faithful, he's behind the scenes working on your behalf. Listen, Hebrews chapter 13 says that Jesus is the great shepherd. 1 Peter says that Jesus is the chief shepherd. John chapter 10 says that he is good in care and sacrifice for his flock. And Hebrews 13 also tells us that he is great in his glorious triumph over every enemy. There's not an enemy out there that has won a fight against him. There's not an enemy that's ever going to fight against him that's going to win. Jesus Christ is great in his glorious triumph over every enemy. And Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He makes it personal. He's my shepherd, not just a shepherd of somebody else, but he's my shepherd too. He's such a good shepherd that I have no need for anything. Church, the Bible says that Jesus is our shepherd and he, his sheep, knows his voice. And I want to tell you something today that you may not realize, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The enemy knows Jesus' voice too. And when Satan comes after you, let the Spirit of God rise up in you. When the enemy attacks, invoke the authority in that name Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, that can operate out of you. Begin speaking the words that Satan is familiar with, that he has heard Jesus speak himself, and let Jesus begin speaking into your situation. Satan will recognize that voice speaking from inside of you, the voice of God, the words of God, and the authority of God working in and through you. Come on now, church. I want to tell you, this is the Word of God. I'm not making this up. You can look it up for yourself. 2 Samuel 23:2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue." The Word of God will come forth if you've got it inside of you. The Spirit of God will operate on your behalf if you've got him inside of you. And God's words will come up, and the enemy will hear them. He'll be familiar with the words, and not only with the words, but with the power that comes with the words, and he will run. Oh, come on, people of God. In John 14, Jesus said, "The ruler of this world is coming for you." Listen, we know that the enemy's coming. He's made that a fact. Jesus said it's going to be something that's going to happen. It's not something that might happen. The enemy, Satan, he wants to destroy you. He wants to take your children. He wants to take your family. He wants to take your job and put you in poverty. He wants to cause your health to go bad. Satan wants to destroy your life because you're not on his side anymore. He wants to bring you down to hell with him, and he's coming after you. The devil will not stop until he comes to a place to where Jesus has put the brakes on him. But the Lord himself, Jesus said in John 14 that the ruler of this world is coming after you, and that's a fact. But he said in the very same sentence that he has no power over me. Satan is no match for me. When the enemy comes in, I'm going to stand up against him. My blood is a lot louder. The resurrection is much deeper. The Word of God carries all of authority that we need to stand up against the enemy and keep him from destroying us. He has to leave when the Word of God is invoked. Church, when you get in trouble, when hardships arise in your life, you belong to Jesus Christ, and your problem is his problem. You need to believe that today. He will deliver you. He's the one that's faithful. He's still Lord and King over everything in this world. He's not going to turn away from you. He's not going to step aside. He's not going to leave you hanging. You're not going through anything in your life that he don't already know that you're going to go through. He's already at your next trouble before you get there. He's waiting on you to take you by the hand and walk you through it. He's not caught by surprise when the enemy attacks you. Stand up on the Word of God. Let the Word of God come out of you. Let the enemy hear the words of Jesus Christ come forth from your spirit as you believe what the Word says, and take authority over that enemy. Take authority over him and push him down and chop his head off and make him never have to appear before you again. Claim victory that Jesus Christ has given you over that enemy. Come on. God's possession is God's problem. And if you are living in Jesus Christ, if he's living in you, he said, "If my words abide in you and if you abide in me." Listen, we need to be abiding in him today. We need to be one with Jesus Christ, just like he prayed for us to be in John chapter 17, so that we would be sanctified and set apart with him, so that we could live with him in eternity. So you need to make your mind up today that regardless of what this world's doing, regardless of who your president is or who your leaders are or who your senators are, it don't make any difference what party is in office. The only party I'm concerned about is the one I'm going to have when the rapture takes place and I'm sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb, partying with my Lord and Savior, my King and my Master, the one that died and shed his blood for me. That's the one that's in control. control of my life, and you need to make him in control of yours today. Because if you're having trouble in this life, if you're battling things by yourself, you need to turn it over to Jesus, because God's problem is his problem. God's possession is his problem. And whatever you are, if you're not God's possession today, you can be today. And I want to tell you how to do that. If the Holy Spirit is tugging on you today, if God is pulling at your heart today, you're saying, this preacher that I'm listening to on this podcast, he has spoken something, the word of God has come forth, and I believe it. My heart rate's up, my blood pressure's got up, the Holy Spirit's working in you and convicting you, telling you that you're hearing the truth about who Jesus is today. You need to get on your knees before God right now and ask him to come into your life and take over, make him Lord over your life, and become God's possession. He's already bought you. He's already paid for you with a very big price by giving his life on the cross of Calvary for you. He shed his blood so that you didn't have to die. He died on that cross and took those nails so that you wouldn't have to. He went into the tomb because you wouldn't have to. He did all that for you so that you could have life and life more abundantly. So you need to ask him into your life right now. You need to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner and I know that I am. I need you to come into my life. I need you to set me free from myself. Free me from the power of my flesh. Free me from the power of my own thinking. God, I surrender my life to you today. I believe the words of this preacher that Jesus Christ is Lord and that I am his possession, that he's already paid for me with his blood. And I ask you to take over my life right now. Come rule and reign my life. Let me be your possession. I surrender to you today. I make you Lord over my life. I receive you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer with a conviction tugging you into the Spirit, right now the angels in heaven are rejoicing over the choice that you've made because you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Don't make a minute go by without telling somebody the choice you've made. You are made overcomers by the blood of Christ and the power of your testimony. You've already surrendered to the blood of Jesus Christ. Now finalize that thing and go tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them the choice that you made. Write us, send us an email at holdingfasttofaith@outlook.com, and we will rejoice with you. Let us know so that we can be happy with you, so that we can rejoice. And the next thing you need to do is you need to get yourself a good Bible. Don't pick up all these new versions of the Bible and this and that. Listen, people's rewriting the Bible all the time, trying to do away with the power of the Bible. Get yourself an old King James Version to get started out in. Start reading that Bible. Get with some God-believing, God-fearing people and join them in church and sit with them and pray with them and worship with them and learn the Word of God together with the corporate crowd of the Church of Jesus Christ today, and let him be Lord over your life and strengthen you to finish out this walk on this earth that we have. It's just a short time before Jesus Christ steps out on that cloud and calls us all home, and you need to make sure you're going with us. Amen. God bless you for making the choice that you've made today, and if you're already a Christian, praise God for you. Begin to share the podcast with other people. Let them know that the Word of God is free for them. It has been received to us freely, and we're freely giving it. Tell people about it. Let them join in. Share the Word of God with them and begin to praise God. He's coming back soon, people. Church, it's not going to be too much longer, and we're going to be out of here. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one.